talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today. Exchange Club.
And here we go. It is a Getaway Friday, Friday, September the 9th, 2022, 9-9-22, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. We're joined this Friday by Linda Sims, host of Voice of a People, which can be heard on this station every Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. It's always an interesting program in its eighth year at this particular point. Linda, here we are on Friday. How did, yesterday a little phone difficulties when it came to one of the guests, but you had Jeff Porter on. How did that go yesterday?
That went well. Jeff was on his game. Yeah.
Now, what is he professing at this point? He's the doomsday professor.
Yes, he is, and he's saying that. The proof is when Israel became a nation again. So he brought in the Berean report and read off of that, you know, which has been 70 plus years now. Well, 1948, they became a nation, and that's supposed to solidify the fact that we're in the last days.
Now, when he says we're in the last days, is he talking 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
It's not a date setting statement. Is about conditions of the world and conditions of man. It's supposed to get worse and worse before the culmination of the end of this age.
Now, why is Israel so vital to this?
Supposed to be God's chosen people.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about all the time that there was no Israel prior to World War II?
Well, I think he brought that up, 70 A.D., Rome went in into Israel and destroyed it and took out a lot of the people and took them to Rome, and they were dispersed all over the world. So there came a time when God brought these people back together.
But now Jeff is not Israeli, right?
No, he's not.
So he's not one of the chosen people.
Well, supposedly not, but you know, you're still supposed to be a chosen spiritual person. If you receive Christ and accept the works that he did on the cross for forgiving you of your sins, you become an Israelite, an Abraham descendant.
So, I guess it begs the question, if we are the chosen ones, then why does Israel matter?
I guess in a way it doesn't. It's just a sign. It's like a sign and a symbol. What happens there?
You know, do you think it's possible that the end times will never come?
Maybe not in our lifetime.
Well, if they happen after our lifetime, what would that be? Because it wouldn't be the end time then for us.
No, our end may be just dying.
Right, right.
You know, and the Bible says all will not die. All of us will not sleep. But we all shall be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye at the sound of the last trump. It's supposed to be this loud trumpet that's going to sound. And I guess things just have to happen the way the Bible says so. And you have to believe that the Bible is true. And you have to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And it is our foundation. And it is our instruction for life. You know, because if you don't believe those things, you will not believe that the world is going to end one day.
Now, you know, when we talk about the end, a lot of people are talking about death, and certainly we're going to talk about death today because the most famous woman in the history I think they called her yesterday the most famous woman in the world, that mm-hmm. more people had seen her face because of her 70-year reign, the Queen of England,
right,
who died yesterday at the age of 96, you know, met her maker yesterday.
Yes.
But boy, was that big news.
Yes, it was.
I was kind of surprised, considering, you know, she's an English monarch.
Mm-hmm.
She really has no power politically or anything of that nature. We fought so long to get rid of English rule. But my goodness, they covered her death more than a presidential death.
Oh, yeah, they still are. Still going on.
Well, why? What is it about the Queen of England that brought that kind of outpouring yesterday?
I think it was her and her grace. And I think it was, she really put a staple on being a queen and just being royalty and having this disposition, attitude, you know. And they said that she really loved her subjects, the people who worshipped her and bowed to her, you know, in England, and all the monarchs, not the monarchs, but presidents all over the world would come to the, you know, Buckingham Palace to meet her and to greet her. But I, as a woman, I admired her.
What was it about her?
She was so graceful. So graceful. And always dressed to the nines. We wore her tiaras and her jewels, you know.
And she always had that black purse.
Yes.
What was in that black? What could she possibly need that she always carried that black purse around?
I don't know.
Always had it.
Yes, always had it. Always had that black purse. I don't know. Maybe it was just her favorite, you know.
You know, she was around for 70 years
yeah.
in that position, longest serving monarch in the history of the royal family. Do you think that had anything to do with it, her longevity?
I think it's also God's grace on our life, you know, because he is, our life is in his hands. How long we live, you know, when we come here, when we're born, that's all designed by him.
You know, it was very sudden. Yes, she was 96, and yes, she had not been in the greatest health the last year. But Tuesday, she had met with the new prime minister and,
right.
and gave her blessing, appointed her Tuesday. And she was gone Thursday morning.
Yeah, it can happen in a moment.
Do you think we'll ever know what happened?
No, I think, like you said, her health had been failing. You know, they were showing some pictures of, you know, her kind of stooped over and with her bones and stuff were weakened. And maybe, you know, her heart just stopped beating. We just don't know.
Well, now, she said, though, at one point she would never leave her position because she could have stepped down.
She was not going to.
No. And doctors, I guess, in the last year or two had told her to cut back on things that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes she listened and sometimes she didn't.
Right. Hey, she's been the queen all these years. She knew what she was doing. And I think she knew what she was able to do as far as her health was concerned, you know. And you think about a person 96 years old and still getting around, still conducting business and traveling here and there, still having her hat on and her suits to match and waving at the people. I mean, all that takes energy and strength, you know. So my hat is off to the queen.
Well, it was interesting because in the last year and a half, she lost her husband
yeah.
of 73 years. She celebrated 70 years in her position. And on Tuesday, she appointed her 15th prime minister. And I thought, you know, that's interesting because there were three seminal events
mm-hmm.
in the last 2 years that she got done. And maybe that was her just saying, you know, I've had enough.
Yeah. I believe a person does become tired of just getting up, doing this, doing that, going here, going there, meeting this person and that person. I don't think I'm near death, but sometimes I get tired too, you know, of people. But I could not even imagine the people that have graced her presence. 70 years?
The coverage was very positive yesterday. You know, usually when somebody dies like that, they always find something that was not very positive about them. But boy, her coverage was very positive.
Yeah.
Still is.
That's something else about her. She wasn't in the tabloids, you know, with all those negative, dirty stories about her, you know. You may hear something. Now, I think the main thing or one of the things that shed a light on her was Princess Diana.
Well, that was the only time she ever really got into hot water.
Right.
When she did not come out and make a statement. right. when Princess Diana was killed, unfortunately, in that car accident.
Right.
And she did not come out and speak, and her public did not like that.
No, we did not like that, because we loved Princess Diana.
So they kind of forced her to do it, and she did. And she said some nice things, but that was really the only drama, and on the whole, that's not
on
a huge drama.
On the whole. And it was a lot of drama, because Princess Diana was loved by the world. She has such a sweet spirit, and not only that, she had a healing spirit about her. She touched sick people. You know, she'd travel all over the world, and you don't find too many people touch you if you got leprosy,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, or disease, but she was that type of person.
You know, now we'll have King Charles. Do you think that will be the same?
Of course not.
Well, it's rare that you have a queen anyway.
Right.
Because if you have a son, you're going to have a king.
Yes.
Like right now, if Charles would die, we'd have King William.
Right.
And if King William would die, we'd have King George. So it's odd to have a queen in general.
Right.
But we had one because her father only had daughters.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. And what a queen we've had.
I did not know they had to change their anthem from God Save the Queen to God Save the King.
Oh! My cousin said, long live the king. I'm like, what?
Yeah, long live the king at this point.
Long live the king.
He's 73, I think. That was his mother.
Right.
Some of that had to rub off on him.
Oh, of course. He knows the protocol for sure. Has to.
Well, nobody's better prepared to do it than him. He's been watching it for 70 years.
Oh, gosh. I bet he never imagined it would take him that long to get seated. But, like you said, she refused to give up her position.
She wasn't going.
Mm-mm.
And she didn't. And think about that. Less than 48 hours before she left, she was still working. At 96. Did you enjoy the coverage of her passing, seeing all the memories and pictures and all that? A lot of people watched it.
Oh, yeah, they did. Still, I just turned it on today. I was busy yesterday. And I just turned it on this morning. My sister called me, and we reminisced about the Queen and Barack Obama going over there after his presidency. I didn't even realize it was after his presidency. And I'm thinking, well, why wasn't it before his during his presidency? So much criticism, right, in politics.
Everybody got along with her, though.
Yes.
You know, Trump said something nice. Biden said something nice. Obama's, Clinton's, Carter's, Bush. None of them had anything negative to say about this woman.
Well, didn't Trump say, why did he have to go meet the Queen or something like that?
Well, I don't know. He called her something yesterday. He called her a dignified, called her
yesterday.
Majesty. Yeah, well... I don't know. I just think that she was a powerful, even though she has no power politically,
was
a powerful woman.
Yes, her presence, absolutely.
But it's hard, because she never gave an interview. She never took an opinion on anything. I think that's why people see her, in a way, as very distant.
Right.
They don't see her as, you know, a loving grandmother or a loving wife or a loving mother. A lot of people saw her, that's one thing, as very distant.
Okay.
But I don't know that she was with the stories that I heard yesterday.
Not unless they're talking about behind closed doors. And you can't expect a monarch or a queen royalty to always be in your presence and always, you know, on the street. Waiting to wave and people to touch their hands or things like that. It's too dangerous in this world. You know, they have to have their guards all around them all the time, you know, for their security. And sometimes people want too much, I think. I think they just want too much.
Well, she became a great PR person.
Yes.
For England.
Yes, she did.
I don't think they'll ever have a better PR person than her.
No. A woman of great wisdom.
With her gone, how does it change the world?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
What will it be like since Queen Elizabeth is gone? What challenges will King, what's her son's name?
Charles.
Charles have. Charles. What are the challenges he's going to have? Will he be able to stand up to adversity and all those type of things? I don't know, but someone was saying that her death meant has something to do with Israel. Because, see, Israel had been a nation for 70, since 48, so that's like, 72 years. And she reigned 70 years, and you brought up another 70. Oh, she was married
73
years. So all these things have some kind of symbolic meaning. And I'm going to be listening to a lot of commentators, like Christian commentators, because, you know, you have people digging into that stuff and can bring up things that you would take you 10, 15 years to discover. So I'm going to be listening to see what I can get from that.
You know, it was interesting. Her death, though, was handled very, on her end, mildly. You know, the doctors released a statement saying, we're going to keep her under care. The family rushed there very quickly, and it was just one line posted on the palace door that the queen passed away this afternoon.
Mm. Not a big hoopla, right?
Not on her end. Not on her end.
Right.
But it was interesting. Did you see that rainbow on Buckingham Palace as she died?
No.
Just as they lowered the flag?
I haven't had time to sit still this morning, but I know that's got to be on one of the YouTube videos.
Oh, would have to be.
Yes.
Would have to be. Now, what do you think that's all about?
I think that's like God smiling.
Job well done.
Yes. Yes. Wow. And a promise. You know, the rainbow symbolizes God's promise also.
Well, you know, of all places for there to be a rainbow at the moment that they lower the flag saying that she has died.
Isn't that something?
How could, you know, sometimes coincidence just doesn't explain it.
You're right. You're so right.
Because how do you make a rainbow?
Show me the first man who can put a rainbow in the sky, right?
That's right. That's right. So it's what is her legacy going to be? When people read about her in the history books, long after we're all gone, what's it going to say about Queen Elizabeth?
It will have so much to say about her. Her reign being the longest, number one, of any king or queen that has ever sat on the throne. Even maybe longer than King David, which is, you know, one of the prophets in the Bible. God's a man after God's own heart. So you're talking about, they're looking about way back how long these kings have reigned. And I had once heard that they had that throne that King David sat on in the palace. I have a book that puts that throne right with Queen Elizabeth. Think about that. That's true.
It's my understanding that she does not, I did not know this, but the monarchy does not own the jewels, and they don't own Buckingham Palace. Now, they own some of the other estates, and her estimated worth was like $400 or $500 million, but the England, the government, owns Buckingham Palace, and they own the jewels, the crowns, and all that.
Okay.
And I think they said it cost $1.60 a year for taxpayers to pay for them to fly places and go places and do things.
That's not bad.
No, $1.60 a year.
I'm not going to understand them owning the jewels, because when you die, you can't take those things with you, you know.
Now, here's the thing, though. Why as Americans are we so interested in the royal family? If you go to the checkout counter, all the tabloids, most of the magazines, we'll have a story about Kate and William or Harry and Meghan Markle or Charles or the Queen. They're always on those magazines. Why as Americans are we so fascinated by them?
I think the fascination is that they are royalty.
Is that?
You know, and it's in our era and in our time, and we can read about them, you know. And especially when Meghan Markle married Prince Harry, oh my gosh. You know, I don't know. I remember getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch Prince Diana's wedding, okay? It's like Cinderella in lifetime, you know, real time. So I can get that, especially women. I can see men also, you know, being associated with kings. Oh, it's just, I don't know. It's things that you wouldn't believe we'd be a witness to in our lifetime.
Now, the brothers apparently don't get along, William and Harry.
There's I heard that.
Been some kind of falling out there.
Yeah.
And the wives, apparently there's some kind of between
them. Along there.
Yeah, Kate and Megan. So how's that all going to come together for Grandma's funeral?
I think they will, you know, dismiss their differences and come together as a family.
I did not realize she was such, they called her Granny, and that she was kind of an advisor, that she really was sort of a grandmotherly figure to those boys.
Had to be. You know, how young they were when their mother died, you know, had to be.
And I guess she goes down in history, it probably is the most photographed, being on all the money.
Oh, yeah.
And she's been caricatured in many, many movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be a long time before people forget Queen Elizabeth.
You're right. Absolutely right.
Now, we have a governor's race, and we'll be covering this here in Ohio, and that got very interesting this week. Now, the latest poll that came out, less than a month ago, August 16th and 19th, shows that if the election were held today, Mike DeWine would get 54% of the vote, Nan Whaley would get 38% of the vote, and 8% are undecided. So that's not good for Nan Whaley, because if you took the 8% undecided, and let's say she got all those, that would still only put her at 46%,
right?
And Mike DeWine's at 54%.
Right.
With less than 60 days to go to the election, what do you make of that?
I think that DeWine will be reelected.
Now, does this have to do with Nan Whaley being a Democrat? Does it have to do with her being a mayor? Does it have to do with her being a woman? What's the reason she's polling under 40%? That's a very low poll.
It is a very low poll. And it's about her disposition. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to throw it out there. A lot of this has to do with abortion. You know, same-sex marriage. And a lot of Democrats stand on that platform. And it has a way of turning people off, especially evangelicals, you know, people that are really pushing for abortions to be abandoned, you know.
Our mayor is on the statewide ticket running for treasurer.
Right.
How do you think that's going to go? 60 days left to go.
What are his
I don't even think there
stats.
Are numbers, but it's tough because usually the statewide offices have about the same numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And him being a Democrat, if she's polling 38%, I don't know what he's polling. I wouldn't be able to say for sure, but if what we know is true about the gubernatorial race, what would you say about his race?
I don't know. I've only heard really from you. I haven't heard anything from anybody as far as, I know he's running. I know he made that statement, you know, but as far as his odds, I really haven't heard anything too favorable about him winning this election. So,
what do you think happened there? He made the big announcement back in February. He clearly wanted a statewide office. It's the office that Mary Ellen Withrow had,
right,
who was from this area. Why is he not doing better as we get closer?
I don't know. I was hoping he was going to win it, but I don't know. Maybe he's not putting enough effort in it. Is that possible?
I don't know. I know he goes out and speaks at places, but I don't know if that's effective anymore. I guess we'll find out on election night. But I don't know. I really don't know what's going on in the state that is causing this problem. I don't know if it's the Democratic Party in general. I don't know if it's his particular race. I don't know if he didn't have enough name recognition. I don't know what's going on.
Ohio's a very different state with a lot of pull from the Republicans.
Should he have had Mary Ellen out there with him more?
Could have been.
I mean, she's held that office.
Yes, yes.
She's a Democrat.
How is she doing?
I think she's doing okay.
Well, great.
I mean, I haven't seen any spots with her involved.
Yeah, why wouldn't he take her?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I mean, if there have been, I just haven't seen them.
Right, right.
Seemed
like that would be something big and covered by the Star or Columbus Dispatch.
Well, you would think with her having had that office.
Right.
Also, her being from the same area that he's from, being of the same party, and right. he worked for her
right.
at one point. You would think that would be a shoo-in, but
yes, and
maybe not.
She went national, you know, so yes, you would think so.
Well, and she was Rich Cordray's treasurer when he ran for governor.
Okay.
So, honorary treasurer, I think. But I don't know. It's an odd thing, I've thought.
Right. Yeah, me too.
What are the Democrats doing statewide? They have had a tough time. I think the only statewide Democrat office holder at this point is Sherrod Brown.
Really?
I think so.
You know what? At the last primary we had, I didn't know who to vote for. I didn't know any of those people. And maybe it's on me because I didn't really do any research. I don't even know if people have interest anymore in these little elections. You know, they're all for the presidency. And then a lot of times, they don't do homework about that. They don't even know who they're voting for. If they're Republican, they'll just push that ticket, you know, or if they're Democrat, they'll just push that ticket without really finding out who is running for these positions, you know? So I felt really kind of ignorant about our last primary.
Now, how did we get to that point? Because that certainly has been the case the
yes.
last 5 or 6 years. Why are we voting straight ticket?
I don't know.
Used to be we did vote for the people.
Yes.
Now we tend to vote for the party.
Right.
And I don't know what brought along that change.
People are not doing the homework. They're not finding out who's running, their character, or their what these people have voted for, what they stand for. They're just voting along party lines.
Takes a lot of money to run for office now.
Yes, it does. And we should be on our game. We should take time to read about these people. Because we don't know what we're getting.
Well, the big bump this week was President Trump endorsed Governor DeWine on Wednesday. Now, that was kind of interesting because he did not seem like a fan of Governor DeWine's a year ago.
No.
Said he was going to have a hotly contested primary, but then this week he turns around and says that he endorses Mike DeWine, that he's been doing a good job.
Well, you have to also look at evangelicals pushing President Trump.
Now,
still pushing him.
Do you think that his endorsement means anything for Mike DeWine?
It could. I think maybe little. I mean, I really looked up to him for him leading us through COVID. I really did. And I think he was more concerned about the welfare of the people. A lot of people didn't like it because you do one little thing wrong and people want to slap you in your face, you know. Or they consider it a mistake. But when you're looking out for the welfare of the people and you're dealing with something none of us had dealt with before, who knows the right remedy? You know, why do you have a right to slap somebody in the face? Because they're looking out for your welfare and your children's welfare. So that's when this hiccup came last year. I forget what he did, but what was that? You remember?
DeWine? Oh, I think he got in trouble for he was implicated in that First Energy scandal.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But it doesn't take much for people to just drop you like a hot potato, like they know all the answers. I look at politics like this. We know who we have, but we don't know what we're going to get, no matter what ticket they're running under.
What do you think Man Whaley's point is at this point? 2 months left to go. What can she do to turn this around?
Maybe make herself more known to people. And how she would do that, I don't know. A lot of people are not even on regular TV anymore. People on Fire Sticks and what's the other thing? They don't even have cable.
Yeah, what do you do? If you're running for office and you want to get your name out there, how do you do it in 2022?
I think you have to be on all types of social media anymore. Facebook Live, just like we are doing now. YouTube, you know, you just have to reach out to people. Because people are in their own little worlds anymore. You don't find too many people that are out. Well, we're just getting out, I put it like that, since COVID. Just like the Popcorn Festival. It was so packed after the parade last night. way more than it was last year. So now people are getting out. So she's going to have to get herself out there big time.
Now, do you think Roe versus Wade being overturned is going to benefit her? Democrats, I think, were banking on that. They had something down at the State House back when it was overturned. I think they thought it was going to help them statewide. Now that we're getting closer, the polls certainly are not reflecting that.
Like I said, it's this state. It's this state, Ohio. That's what that is.
Now, we did not used to be so conservative. We've had Democratic governors.
Yes, we have.
We voted for President Obama twice for president.
Yes.
What has happened?
Well, these evangelicals are on this push about the government saving the world, I guess, Ohio, one state at a time. Or they are convicting people for sin themselves, which is not our job as believers.
I am surprised we're this close to a gubernatorial race and it's getting this little attention. And I've seen very few ads, very, very quiet in the ad department.
See, that should not be, because this is a very important election. If she wants to be governor, she's going to have to show it, act it.
And after COVID, a lot of people thought Mike DeWine's chances were slim and none, because they felt that he had such a falling out with his own party.
He did.
But here we are. He's got 54% of the vote. Heading into to November, less than 60 days from now.
They'd rather have him than her.
Well, see, that because... Now, why would the Democrats run her?
Is that the best we had?
It didn't seem like there were a lot of people running for governor, which was kind of different. I think we just had her and Cranley on the Democratic side, and I don't think a lot of people knew who Cranley was.
No. No. And why didn't our mayor run for governor?
I don't know. Well, do any of these people have name recognition that you would need to beat a DeWine? Now, Cordray had some name recognition. He'd had federal office prior to that. He'd been statewide office. Who are the powerful Ohio Democrats at this point?
I don't know, but someone could tell me. Call into the station now and let us know who are the powerful Democrats out there.
Yeah, our phone line's open 45 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Who are the prominent Democrats in Ohio statewide that have state recognition, name recognition, and could be viable? Rich Cordray's not going to run for anything. He's got federal office right now. And Ted Strickland is in his 80s, I believe. He's not going to run for anything at this point. So who are the people who is the head of the Democratic Party in Ohio? Who would you say is the leader?
I can't even tell you that.
Now, okay. We would say, I think most people would say with the Republican Party, it's probably Mike DeWine. He's the governor. He's been
yes.
a part of the Republican Party for many, many years.
Right.
Is it Sherrod Brown?
Probably.
But who else is there besides him?
And he doesn't make a lot of noise either, Sherrod Brown. And maybe that would help if they would start making some noise.
Now, that Senate race, J.D. Vance and Tim Ryan, now that's getting some attention. We're seeing some nasty ads when it comes to that. How do you think that's going to go?
I don't know. I don't know much about Tim Ryan.
Now, the only race we have locally here, I think, is the county commissioner race. We're going to have a new county commissioner regardless. Dr. Davis, the Republican, versus, I think, Kathy Masters, the Democrat. That's for Ken Stuyvesant's seat. He did not win in the primary. Lost
That's
to
right.
Dr. Davis.
That's right.
So we're going to get a new commissioner one way or another. But who's it going to be, Dr. Davis or Kathy? Does anybody know? Now, they know Dr. Davis. He beat the incumbent. He beat Ken Stuyvesant.
Right.
But here we are, less than 60 days. Do people know? Are they aware of Kathy Masters?
I'm just going to have to do more homework, Scott.
Well, it's confusing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, in the end, what this will all mean.
Right. I don't either.
it's a it, Well, when we look at the presidential race, let's say Biden does not run because of age. Now, who's going to step into that position?
I've said the same thing. Who's next? Runner-up. Because Biden cannot run.
Because I don't think that the Democratic Party would nominate Kamala Harris.
Well, she would probably be that.
I think she would run.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know.
Who else do we have? I mean.
Well, that's the question.
Yeah.
Could she win? Or does she end up falling in the Nan Whaley problem?
Probably.
Because you don't want, if you're the Democrats, you don't want to run somebody who's going to lose. It seems to me what happened here in Ohio is they had a chance to beat DeWine because he was very unpopular after COVID, even amongst
That's
his
true.
Own party. I mean, they stripped him of the power.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Under the bus.
So they had a chance to win. He was primaried heavy by Jim Renacci and Joe Blystone.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even get 50% of the Republican vote in the primary. So the Democrats really had a chance. But according to the polls now, they did not run a strong candidate. So, you know, you can tell Biden to go away because of age, but do you have somebody in there who could win that particular race?
And what's wrong with Biden? Everybody's saying he's about to fall dead. He doesn't seem to be falling dead when I see him.
I think people are afraid. I don't think he's going to fall over dead, but I think people are afraid that age will work against him because he would be the oldest president ever elected again. He would be the only president ever elected in his 80s. I think they're afraid of that. Hillary said she won't run.
Of course not.
I think she's had her fill of running.
I'm sure she has. Because she has not gained popularity since.
You know what I don't understand? Now, see, this is, to me, the country. Now, people say if Michelle Obama ran, that she would get the nomination easily. Because she's very popular and very likable. And that Hillary Clinton is not. But Hillary Clinton actually has experience. She's been Secretary of State. She's been First Lady. She's been Senator from New York. She's ran for president twice. Now, why would somebody who has no political experience, never held any office, be more appealing to a party than somebody who has experience?
Hillary's been around too long, and she just kind of played out. People were tired of her.
Why do we get to that point? Are we ageist in this country? We say, well, you've been around too long. If that's the only reason that you should...
A lot of people didn't like her politics. They just did not like her. You know, her and Bill had been accused of some things that people couldn't even prove, but they'd like put it on their face, you know. They killed so-and-so, and they, you know, had all this conspiracy going on. And they just didn't want them back in the White House.
Well, is that going to impact Trump at this point? Is he such a turnoff to Democratic voters that he would have a hard time getting back in?
And he's lost some of his own supporters. I think he's really holding on to the evangelicals, but I don't think that's enough to push him over. I don't.
So who on that side is going to be viable?
That'd be interesting. I'd be glad to see who they do pick. That is going to be interesting, Scott.
Yeah, well, on that particular side, is there anybody in waiting that you could see who would be a viable candidate?
I haven't had any interest at all in politics since Trump left.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of died down.
Yeah, it did. After President Obama, it was sort of like, and it was because of the endorsements that he accepted that they would not even allow Barack Obama to even consider accepting. You know what I'm saying? Like the hate crimers and the racist people, and he endorsed it all, and they took up for it all. No matter what Trump does, it's the best thing. You know, he's a good businessman, but he was not a president.
What do you think his appeal is to people?
His rudeness.
Now, you would not think people would like rudeness.
They liked his.
What was it? What was that thing? Because he certainly has something.
Yes, and you know what? I always thought he told the truth. Whether we liked it or not, he told the truth. Just like when he made fun of that guy that was somewhat
handicapped.
He didn't take that back. He said, well, that's who he is, you know, and he just thought, he just kept on doing it. And they accepted it. No matter what he did, they accepted it. Well, I don't see anything wrong with doing this or doing that or accepting. What was his name? Was it David Duke?
David Duke, yeah.
I don't see anything with accepting that. Hey, he's a pretty nice guy as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, because you're business partners. But this is political. This has to do with not just your lives and white lives, lives of many people, all people. You know, so he was endorsed no matter what he did.
Well, now that his presidency is over for 2 years, what did he give people? I guess, you know, they talk about the economy, and there was some movement in the economy. But as far as these hate groups and so on and so forth, I did not see where he gave them anything, did he?
No, just business. You know, a lot of people who invest in stocks and bonds, and even my daughter said, yeah, I like Trump being president, Mom.
Well, there you go.
She invest, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
And she saw her money rise, you know, all while he was in presidency. So, yes, a lot of people wanted him there just for that.
Do you think we'll have a high voter turnout?
I hope so. But the way it's going, no.
The last time we did not.
No.
The last election was low.
If they don't put some power behind this and some consideration and try to reach out to people, it'll be low out turnout next time.
If DeWine wins again, is there something he can do for Ohio in the twilight of his career?
I don't know. He legalized the right to carry. I wasn't for that. But people that go hunting was show enough behind it. And evangelicals was behind it. Which you wouldn't think so, but they were.
Well, DeWine's no spring chicken either.
No, he's not.
What is he, mid-70s?
Gotta be.
But I'll tell you, people go longer in politics than they would go in any other profession.
And not only that, when you have a large group of people that are pushing you and are behind you, they'll keep you there as long as you do what they want you to do.
Well, I keep wondering, where are the young people? You have Biden, who's in his 80s. You have Trump, who's in his late 70s. You have Hillary, who's in her mid-70s. You have DeWine, who I think is now in his late 70s. You know, Nan Whaley, she is young. I think she's in her 40s. But people don't want to vote for young.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe we don't know enough about her.
Is there anything to the woman factor? Just the fact that she's a woman.
Of course that, too. Of course that, too.
See, now this becomes a hard point, though, then. What do you do? Can't change that.
No, you can't change that. And even Hillary had that over her head. They did not want a woman president.
But do you think the Democrats, at this point, in Ohio, have had a blind spot when it comes to that? Because if you ask a Democrat, if you say, does being a woman hurt her? They will say no. Because they want her to win.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you don't acknowledge that there is a problem, then the problem festers.
Right. Oh, well, what can I say?
Would you have nominated her if you were choosing the Democratic nominee?
If she was the best we had, yeah.
But 38%, a statewide candidate for governor, 38%. I mean, I would have to, what do you think the politics are in this state? There's got to be more than 38% of the people who are Democrats statewide.
And if you put someone up there, you have to get behind him and help push. Help the people come familiar with that person, you know. I don't see any push. I was kind of asking Tara Dyer, what is going on with the Democratic Party? Because you don't really hear anything.
What was her answer?
Well, I don't even remember. It was kind of elongated. Because, you know, she's ran for several offices.
Several offices, not one.
Local, and,
Yeah, and she is a very well-known person in the community.
Very well-known.
Teacher.
Yes,
but
yes.
Could not win an office.
Very active in all type of organizations.
Now, if she was a Republican, would she have won?
I think so.
And so, see, there, herein lies the problem.
Yes.
Well,
I think so.
How do you change that?
I don't know.
If you want to win, you have to be a Republican, I guess, in Ohio.
Yeah. Because, you know, they think they are the only ones that's right. You ever heard of a church and they think that they're the only ones going to heaven? Unless you go to their church, that's the Republican Party.
And there are a lot of churches in Marion.
Yes.
What do we have, 140-something?
I know it's a lot of them. They pop up all the time. But there is one church that thinks they're the only one going to heaven. If you don't go to that church, then you're not going to heaven. So the Republican Party is, if you're not with us, we're the only one that's right. We're the only ones that know what we're doing. We're the only one following God's law, because you know they throw God in there all the time.
Well, statewide, they might be right at this point. They're holding all the offices except one.
Yeah.
So they're doing something right.
Yeah.
Who's coming up this week?
Oh, I have Colonel Jones.
Oh, Colonel Jones.
Yes. He just got that promotion, a highway patrolman.
Oh, very nice.
So I don't know what his promotion is, but he's supposed to be here. And Fred
Malone. Oh, Fred
Malone. Thursday.
Good. Yeah. Good. Fred Malone's always a lot of fun to have on.
Right.
So Fred will be on Thursday, 10 to 12.
For the 2 hours.
And
yes.
Colonel Malone will be on Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yes.
So no phone problems.
No, he's coming in.
Coming into the studio. That's how you eliminate those phone problems.
Right, right.
You do those interviews in the studio.
I think it's better, and I'll have to mess with all that, you know, just make sure I get my
Facebook
live on. Yeah.
Well, I think it's when you look somebody in the eye, that helps.
It does.
And
it
we
does.
Have our new cityscape here in the studio.
Lovely. Our mics. Yeah.
Mics, our mic stands, where people don't have to hold them. They can just, you know, I've noticed though, some people, the mic will be turned like this. And then you got to turn it like that. Oh, my.
Yeah. Jeff had reclined. He had his legs up in the chair.
Oh, boy. If you want to be heard, you got to talk into the mic.
Yes, yes. But he was on his game yesterday. Yeah.
Good, good.
Yes, he was.
Well, it's always fun to have you in, Linda.
Thank you. We'll
do this again. It's a Good Friday tradition, I think. We get some cross-promotion and talk about what happened. There's always something to talk about.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's for sure. Who knows what will happen in the next week. Linda Sims can be heard on Voice of a People every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon. And I'll be on tonight with Angie Evers from 8:15 until 10 on this station. But for now, for Linda Sims and all of us here at WGH Talk, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green talking about meeting legendary talk show host Ed Sullivan for the first time.
Do you remember the first time you met him?
The worst time?
The first time? Both. We'll take both at this point.
First time? What's the first time? Does it rhyme? Either time. First time I'm...